want to walk close to the Lord, there'll be some real evidence of that. And I believe that He wants us to be close to Him. And when we have that desire to walk just as close as we possibly can with the Lord, we'll be filled. And we'll have the blessings that come with that. And I want to encourage each one here this morning with that. I'd like for us to open our Bibles to Psalms 1. And I remember, tell you a story that's getting kind of old now, but I remember as a small boy, our Sunday school teacher gave us some psalms that we had to memorize and be able to recite to her without looking. And my brother got Psalms 1, and that's the one I wanted. And I was required to memorize Psalms 46. But Psalms 1 is the one that I thought, well, it had less verses. And but anyway, it's a special psalm, and it only has 6 verses. But I'd like to read through this morning, and I'd like to focus on something today with the help of the Lord that I trust will be a blessing and a challenge to us. It says, beginning verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So we find here that the ones that want to be pleasing to the Lord and the ones that don't want to be pleasing to the Lord are compared to one another. We find that the ungodly, in the beginning in verse 4, he says some things that almost brushes them completely to the side, where it's almost like they don't exist. But the reality is the reality of ungodly people is very real. There are a lot of ungodly people in our world today, and it's unfortunate, but it's a very real reality. I don't know what a better word to use there, but it's something that we have to contend with, because they influence us. They impact us. They're around us. We rub shoulders with ungodly people. You never know when an ungodly person is going to say something that could be embarrassing to us, could make us feel uncomfortable. They could suggest something. They could seem like sometimes they're maneuvering us into a position where we don't have a good answer. Whether it's a political thing or a temporal business situation, it's like, I don't want either one of them. I don't want the bad here, and I don't want the bad over there. But you didn't give me a good choice. It's all around us. But he says here, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I think what he's trying to tell us in this psalm is there is no long-lasting substance in the ungodly. Those that we have called to mind earlier that in the service today that have been a blessing to us spiritually, and just the knowledge that there was someone that went before us that was faithful, you know, that encourages us. Yeah. But there, those that weren't faithful, it's like they weren't even there. They didn't help establish the cause of God. So it says here, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Doesn't mean that they won't be at the judgment. They won't, their works will not stand the test of the judgment. The ungodly will be there, just like the godly people will be. But he says the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. If there is someone that comes in our midst that's not pleasing to the Lord, I want them to be welcome. I want them to be here in a place where God can deal with their hearts and they can realize that there's hope for them and they can turn around. But they are not going to be blended in and sneak into heaven. You know, there's times that people have snuck into various amusements and attractions because they went in with the crowd. But we're not going to get into heaven that way. We're not going to be in the, if we're not a righteous person by the grace of God, we're not going to make it in. And he says here that the ungodly won't be part of the congregation. He says, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I think it's a wrong perspective to take the position that sinners aren't welcome in our worship services. I want them to be welcome. I want them to come. I want them to feel the love of God. But they won't be part of the spiritual congregation. They might be part of a literal congregation, but they won't be part of the spiritual congregation until they've become a new man. A new person. And he says here in the last verse, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows your mindset. He knows the condition of your heart. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows whether you're walking just as close as you possibly can as this song that the young people sang earlier. You know, he knows you. But he says the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's just going to blow away like the chaff in the wind. I pulled in at the business yesterday and I thought somebody else was in the parking lot because there was a big cloud of dust blowing across the lot. I got there and there's nobody there. It was just the wind blowing away. And that's the way it is for the ungodly. It's just like the wind. It's just blowing dirt around. Now let's look beginning in the first verse. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that isn't persuaded to do the things that the ungodly suggest. You know, I've had suggestions. Hey, Dan, why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? Or you ever thought about this? You know, we have to be determined not to follow the counsel of the ungodly. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't take up residence with the ones that are engaged in sinful practices. Doesn't mean we can't interact with them. It doesn't mean that we need to avoid doing business with them. We can do honorable business with ungodly people. But don't go doing and building an establishment with them. He says, don't, what does he say? Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Unfortunately, a lot of what we hear as news is scornful things, fault finding and picking, and they're just tearing somebody down all of the time. No one is How many times do you see on the front page that somebody has celebrated a 50th wedding anniversary? That's usually at the back of the newspaper. You don't see that at the front. You don't see someone has lived to be 100 years old and accredits his longevity to clean living and being a godly person. You don't see that on the front page of our newspapers. It might be mentioned in small print on the back page somewhere is that they attribute their long life to living for God, if it's even in the newspaper. They might forget to put that in. But it says here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is, Lord, if there is something that I'm not doing right, let me feel the touch of your hand. Let me know. I want to know if there's something that's not pleasing to you. And he says, in his law doth he meditate. You know, I can choose to, you can be here this morning and thinking about something that you was doing before you got here or something you're going to be doing after you go away. You could be thinking about breakfast or you could be thinking about lunch. You could be thinking about the work you did last week or the work you want to do in the future. You could be thinking about who's playing who on the in the sports arena, or you could be thinking about something that you wouldn't want anybody to know about. But he says here, this is talking about the righteous. He says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, every time that I make the choice to meditate on the things of God, I always get a blessing. You ever notice that? Every time I make the choice to go to the website that has the messages on and listen to that while I'm doing something that don't require all of my concentration, I get a blessing. But it's a choice. And he says, blessed is the man, happy is the man that delights in the Lord, that chooses to meditate on his law day and night. And then I want us to really focus today on the third verse. It says, and he shall be like a tree. So we're talking about people. We're talking about their spiritual aptitude or their spiritual direction. We're talking about the righteous and the ungodly. And we're talking about the godly and ungodly people. And he says, in relation to those that want to be like God, that want to have a relationship with the Lord, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, so the setting is, we have a tree planted by the rivers of water. I believe that he's talking about the spiritual river or the water of life. I have to believe that's what he's talking about. But he's using a literal tree as an example here to try to give us some insight. So a tree of any size is a symbol of strength and stability. Would you agree with that? I was impressed with the tree. And that's not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons that we chose the place that we did when we bought our house. I told my wife, I said, it was a piece of land that could be divided up. And I said, well, I don't care just how it's divided up, but I said, I want that tree. If I'm buying this house and this piece of land, I want that tree. Well, I'm going to, if you got a calculator this morning, we're going to do a little math. I went out a few years ago. It's been in the last 5 years, but I went out there and I put a tape measure, hung the tape measure in the bark, and I went around the tree And I measured the circumference with my tape measure. And this tree is a little over 16 feet around. So somebody tell me what the diameter of that tree is. Okay, how many inch? Well, just 5.2 or something like that, isn't it? Okay, so in how many inches is that? A little over 61 inches. So if you cut this tree off, and don't nobody come cut my tree off, all right? But if you cut it off to go from one side to the other, it's going to be approximately 61 inches. That's a big, big cross section of a tree. Now, I went to Google and I found out that, give or take a little bit, you want to find out how old a tree is, you take the diameter in inches and multiply it times 4. In other words, it takes about 4 years to make an inch. So how old is this tree? I don't know. Let's say it was only 3 years to the inch. How old would that tree be? 183 years old. I don't know. I know the oldest man that lived in the community when I moved there. He's passed away now, but he told me that was a big tree when I was a boy. And I've lived right around the corner all of my life. It's a big tree. It's been there a long time. So here's the picture I want us to get in our mind. We know that the things that ungodly people do, it'll be there at the judgment day, but it won't stand. It'll be like, you remember when they came to arrest Jesus? And they said, and he said, who are you looking for? And they said, well, we're looking for Jesus. I can't remember. It's over there in Luke, I believe it is. And as soon as he said, I am he, what happened to him? Do you remember what happened? They went back and they fell down. You know what's going to happen to the ungodly when they get to the judgment? They're going to fall down. They're not going to stand. Their works are not going to stand at the judgment. But he says the righteous or the godly is going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So how this tree, I'm telling you, it's impressive. It's a big tree, and every year the branches are as big as some trees. It's got such a huge spread on it. It a big shadow, and it has big acorns. It's an oak tree, and it has some of the biggest acorns I've ever seen. I think that's the variety, not because the tree is big, but it has acorns that's probably as big as a quarter, almost half a dollar size acorns. If they fell on you, it would hurt. You know, if you was out there when one of them fell. So it's a symbol of strength, of stability. I'm glad it's on my place. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I want us to notice also here in this verse, he says, in verse 3, he says, and he shall be like a tree. What does that mean? It means that there's a process for you to become that tree by the water. It's been a process for this tree to get to this size. I don't know how you want to figure. Even if it's only 2 years per inch of diameter, this tree is 122 years old. But if it's 4 years, it's 244 years old. That means even if it's more than likely, this tree was a substantial tree. It was well established and on its way during the Civil War. If it's 244 years old, it almost dates back to when? The Revolutionary War. It's been here a long time to get to this size. So when you see a tree of righteousness, what do you recognize in a person's life? Well, you have to come to the conclusion. It's been a process. It's taken some time to be recognized. And he said, if you will cultivate these things of dwelling in his, meditating on his law day and night, in delight in the law of the Lord, don't stand in the way of sinners, don't sit in the seat of the scornful, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you'll be like a tree of righteousness. Does this happen overnight? No, it don't happen overnight. Does it happen in a short period of time? No, it doesn't happen in a short period of time. But as time goes on, it will accumulate substance. There will be more strength and more fruit. I want us to think about this big tree or a big tree. Maybe you've got one in your mind. You know, somewhere it had to get a start. Somewhere I've got one of its offspring. I guess you would say one of those acorns sprouted and is growing up behind a little shed of mine. And I thought, you know, I'd like to take that tree and transplant it somewhere else. I even thought about taking it down to the Monarch campgrounds. Man, wouldn't it be nice to have a tree this size on the campground sometime? Well, it's going to take a while. It's not going to happen next summer. Somebody's going to have to keep from mowing it off with the bush hog. Somebody is going to have to protect this tree for a while. And you know, that's why we come to service. It's because we need some protection from those that are trees of righteousness. We need an environment where we can be nurtured and grow. We can begin to gain strength. But there comes a time that somebody is going to start looking and saying, that's a tree of righteousness over there. How did it happen? Didn't happen overnight. It took some time. It took some perseverance. It took the right conditions. I don't know why. Well, there's some of those other acorns that sprout, but they don't have a chance out in my yard. I cut them all off. This one grew up behind the shed. I want us to notice, too, that you'll be a tree of righteousness if you apply the first two verses. So when you read through this psalm, I want us to start thinking about this psalm on a regular basis because I want us all to be a tree of righteousness. I want us to be an individual that others can look to and recognize that there's fruit in the right season. They produce something. They're providing shade. They're providing something is coming out of their life. And how it comes out is because they've applied verses 1 and 2. They've not walked in the counsel of the ungodly. They've not stood in the way of the sinners. They've not sat at the seat of the scornful. They've applied themselves to the Word. They have meditated on the things of God. And they've done that over and over and over and over again. You know, we live in an age where the ones that Paul addressed, when they were all the ones that were always just wanting to learn some new thing, we live in a very advanced state of that in our age today. People are they're incredibly interested, enthused about learning some new stuff. But it has to be a totally new topic many times. I want us to get not just interested, I want us to cultivate an appetite for the things of God. I want us to also notice that this tree, the one I have at my house and this tree here, how long it takes to be a big tree. It's going to take a lifetime to leave a legacy. I want to say that again. It's going to take a lifetime to leave a legacy. It's going to take a lifetime to create a monumental tree for the Lord. So don't be discouraged if you're just getting started in your walk with the Lord. Don't be discouraged if you feel like you've been on the wrong road for a while and you're just now getting on the right road. You've got the rest of your life. Just don't give up. Whatever the tree is designed to produce, it'll do it in its season. It doesn't take a very big oak tree to make an acorn. You ever thought about that? But big oak trees just make more acorns. It doesn't take a very big peach tree to have a peach. But a bigger peach tree will make more peaches. It doesn't take a very big pecan tree to have a pecan on it. But a really, really big pecan tree has lots and lots of pecans on it. And as you go through life, realize I'm here to produce some fruit. Something that others would recognize. This is a product of living for the Lord. I want to notice something else. He doesn't say he will be a tree amongst trees. He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How many of you have ever seen a picture of a tree standing all by itself? One in particular that comes to my mind is a pretty famous tree. I believe it's in New Zealand. And it's standing on a little clump of dirt, I guess you would say. All you can see is the tree kind of in the edge of a lake. And I guess it's a willow tree. It's not hundreds of years old or anything like that, but it's pretty good size. I think they say it's 70 or 80 years old. And it started out with the intention of being a fence post, and somebody stuck a willow limb in the ground, and willows are prone, especially with moisture sprouting and growing, and it's become a tree. And it's out there kind of in the shallows of a lake over in New Zealand. But a picture came up that I can't remember how I come across it now, but here's this tree all by itself. There's other trees that's gained notoriety because of their age or their species or something like that, and it's a tree all by itself. So one of the things I want us to be encouraged with is we are to be a tree of righteousness even if we feel that we're standing alone. You know, there are those that turn to a tree of righteousness when themselves they are unwilling to do the things in verses 1 and 2. They sidestep it. They're not willing to meditate on the things of the Lord. They're not willing to stay away from the way of sinners. They're not willing to remove themselves from the seat of the scornful. And they're not willing to walk in any, or they are willing to go down and listen and walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They're not willing to do those things themselves, but when they recognize that someone their own age bracket has incrementally over the years become a tree of righteousness, they'll come back. They'll gravitate back, and they will acknowledge that this is the way it ought to be. I observed this yesterday. Two brothers, both of them raised obviously in the same home. One of them very sincere and conscientious, and the other has done the things that's directly opposite of verse 1 and 2. So the one that has not followed the things of the Lord was talking about the one that was sincere, and he said that, you know, he was the most stubborn of all of us. Not now, but he was. He's been the most faithful, dependable one. He's been the conscientious one. He's been a better example than any of the rest of us. And I saw in him, even though he wasn't living the way his parents really wanted him to live, I saw him saying things, "This is my brother and he's a tree of righteousness. This is the way it really ought to be done. I've not been a good example, but he has." I saw the Lord take stubbornness and make faithfulness and dependableness about him out of it. That's what I want the Lord to be able to say about us, each one of us. You may feel like, you know, if you're the only one of your siblings that's following the Lord, you know, you can feel pretty lonely. If you're the only one on the neighborhood, you can feel pretty lonely. If you're the only one at your place of work, you can feel pretty lonely. If you're the only one in the school system, if you're the only one in your particular environment, whatever it is, you can feel pretty much alone, like that tree that's standing out by itself. But I want to encourage you this morning to keep applying verses 1 and 2. Because it says in verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There's some things that you can invest in financially that has high potential, but it can also have high risk. And there's other things you can invest in that have very low risk, but they have pretty much guaranteed dividends or results. And that's kind of like living for the Lord. You know, if you will live for the Lord, anytime that you're, if you was to be called home at any time in your life, you'd be ready. You wouldn't have to worry and scramble around about getting things lined out with you and the Lord. But as you go along, it will pay dividends year by year, month by month, decade by decade. And as time unfolds, those around you, even though you may feel isolated and you may feel alone, the others around you will have to say, "That's a tree of righteousness." That's the way we all ought to really be. I've not been as good a person as they have been. I've not allowed the things of God to be as important as they. That's the way it really ought to be done. I'd like to turn now to Isaiah, the 61st chapter. And this is the chapter that Jesus quoted from when he was reading in the synagogue of Nazareth over in Luke, the 4th chapter. But notice here in Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. How many people does God want to be a tree of righteousness? Just one? No. He wants everyone to be a tree of righteousness. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His will. That's what He wants for every one of us. He wants every one of us to be a tree of righteousness, and every one of us have the opportunity of feeling like we're the isolated willow tree out in the middle of the lake, or on the edge of the river somewhere, or out in the middle of a desert by an oasis, and we just happen to be the one little seed that sprouted by the puddle of water, and here we are, 30 years later, trying to put out our leaves and bear our fruit, and there seems like it's a desert all the way around us. But you know, there's someone that wants to come and rest under your shade. There's someone that wants to point to you and say, that's the way it ought to be done. There's someone out there that says, at least I know how to do it when I do turn my life around. I want to challenge us this morning to be encouraged to be a tree of righteousness. It can feel pretty lonely, but I want you to know it's God's intention that everyone would become that kind of tree. If everyone would become a tree of righteousness, it wouldn't feel so lonely. But until more people do, you're going to feel a little lonely. This tree that's at my house, I have a tree in my front yard that I'm sure is a descendant. It's not near as old as the one that's the big one. And I have one right behind the house that's of the same species, probably came from an acorn from that tree. And then I have that other one that's basically a sprout. It's maybe, I don't know, it might be an inch in diameter. It might be that four-year-old tree, three-quarters of an inch to an inch. And you know, every one of us has got to start somewheres to be this tree. And I want to challenge us, wherever we are in life, to be encouraged to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. I want to be in a place that when my life on earth is done and others look on, they can say, that's the kind of tree that I want to be. Sometimes we can all feel very lonely, and we can feel like things are not, I would like for trees of righteousness to be like planting grass, where you just spread the seed out and get a little rain and it just comes up thick as hair on a cat's back. That'd be wonderful. That's called revival. I want to see revival happen, but we won't have revival if we don't have trees of righteousness to start with. So I want to challenge us to be willing to do what verse 1 and verse 2 says for us to do. And if we do, if we'll really sincerely put those in practice, God will make a tree of righteousness out of you. You pray for me.